Thank you very much. It is such a privilege to gather here with a group where we can hear our national anthem and where we can declare our Pledge of Allegiance to this great nation. Today is September 15th. On this day, 8 years ago, an event took place that had a big impact on my life and may have impacted yours. On this day in 2008, Lehman Brothers, a venerable Wall Street investment bank, declared bankruptcy. It was the largest bankruptcy in history. The financial markets had been teetering long before this event took place, but it was the collapse of Lehman that triggered a financial meltdown and ultimately led to a global recession where millions of jobs were lost. Now, I joined Lehman Brothers in 2008, right after I graduated from BYU. And I remember I'd worked really, really hard to get this job. Wall Street banks didn't come and recruit at BYU. I was so excited when I got this position. And I was so crushed when the company fell apart just a couple months after I had joined. There were a lot of lessons for me from this. I think first, losing your job early in your career, at least for me, taught me the importance of having a job, of having meaningful work, of something that I could get up in the morning for and go to. It also taught me the importance of helping others. And this has driven a lot of what I do now in my career. I love being able to help people find a job because I have seen how valuable that is. I love helping people leverage tools that can make them more successful and more effective in their jobs. And so I joined LinkedIn a couple years ago. At LinkedIn, I focus on helping people realize our vision. And the vision of LinkedIn is to create economic opportunity for every member of the global workforce. And what I'm going to share today is how we can all use LinkedIn to grow our financial practice and to be more successful. I'd like to start off with a couple questions. Just by show of hands, how many people are on LinkedIn? Okay, looks like the vast majority. How many people have used LinkedIn in the last, say, week? Okay, maybe about half. How many people have used LinkedIn to prospect or to find a new client? Okay, smaller amount. Last question, how many people in the BYU-Utah game on Saturday would have gone for the two-point conversion? Anybody? Okay, about half. I'm in that camp as well. I love the decision. Fortunately, it didn't work out. There are probably some people in this room happy that it didn't work out. Anybody?
It worked out really well.
Okay. I don't know about that. But I'll try not to derail the conversation and go any further down that. We'll stick to the task at hand here. So imagine for a moment if you could see 45% more sales opportunities. What would that do for you? Imagine if you could be 51% more likely to hit your sales goals. And imagine if you could outsell 78% of your peers. Well, hopefully by the end of this half hour, I will have shared how you can do that. So what is social selling? Social selling is kind of a buzzword that's crept up the last couple of years. You may have heard about it in various publications. In short, social selling is leveraging your network to find prospects, leveraging your network to build relationships, and ultimately leverage your network to achieve your sales goals. Right? I'm going to contrast the two, social selling versus traditional selling. Where with traditional selling, it's generally a numbers game. It's high volume. The more people you get in front of, the more you can convert into a prospect, the larger you can grow your business. With social selling, it's a more researched approach. It's a targeted approach. You're identifying individuals in your network that you can best help. Traditional selling generally involves buying a lot of lead lists and pounding the pavement. where with social selling, it's about leveraging warm introductions. And finally, with traditional selling, it's low conversion rate. It's a numbers game, like I said, where with social selling, there's a higher conversion rate because it's a targeted approach. And not that there's anything bad with traditional selling, just thinking about the two. Social selling enables better lead generation, it strengthens your prospecting process, and eliminates the need for cold calling. The need for cold calling. You can still cold call all you want to, but maybe that's something that that you don't want to do as you grow your practice. So let's look at LinkedIn now and social media and a few different statistics on how that can help us. 73% of affluent investors use LinkedIn to research investment decisions. So 73% of the people you're meeting are looking you up on LinkedIn and looking at your presence and finding out what that says about you. Definitely something worth keeping in mind. Affluent investors are 157% more likely to trust articles shared on LinkedIn than other sources. People come to LinkedIn, people trust LinkedIn. People trust the content that they find on there. We'll talk about how we can share content on LinkedIn. And finally, 52% of affluent investors say that they would engage with a financial advisor on social media, but only 4% of those people are being engaged with by advisors. Now, I know there are some regulations. There are some requirements of how you can use LinkedIn, how you can use social products. I'm going to table that conversation for this afternoon. But just know that there are rules. Play by those rules. Play within those rules when using LinkedIn. So the rest of the presentation now, I'm going to talk about four essential elements of social selling. The first is establishing your professional brand. How do you build an online presence that is impactful? The second is finding the right people. We can't be all things to all people. A lot of times when taking that approach, we end up being nothing to nobody. Having a targeted approach can be really effective. Third is engaging with insights. How do you share contact? How do you share content? How do you connect with people? And then finally, building relationships, because that's what this business is all about. So number one, establishing your professional brand. Why is it important to establish your professional brand online? It may be a given, but here's one stat. 81% of buyers are more likely to engage with a seller who has a strong professional brand. It's worth the investment to build that brand. And how do we do that? It really starts with the LinkedIn profile and creating an all-star profile. So this is what LinkedIn has determined what an all-star profile is, and there are 7 criteria for hitting that. Here's an example, Stephen Weichert. We'll look at his profile and how he's gone about doing that. So the first one here is having an industry and location. So you can see right a little bit underneath his name, industry financial services. He lives in Newport Beach. The second is a current position. Stephen is a wealth advisor at First Foundation Advisors. Okay, no rocket science here so far. 2 previous positions, he was at a real estate investment trust and Pacific Continental Bank. Education, Stephen went to UC Irvine. Skills, having a minimum of 3 skills on your profile. This snapshot here doesn't show that, but he has skills that share what he can do. Having a profile photo, very effective picture right here, and having at least 50 connections. Stephen has well over 300. Now, a lot of you in this room probably have all of these seven criteria that make up an all-star profile. On LinkedIn, only 50% of people have an all-star profile. But why is this important? Why do we talk about an all-star profile? Because those who have an all-star profile receive 40 times more opportunities on LinkedIn than those who don't. These opportunities can come as a lead, as a new prospect, as somebody reaching out to you. 40 times more opportunities. Now, you don't want to be average. You don't want to be at that 50th percentile. You want to take your profile to the next level. So this afternoon in the focus session, I'm going to go a little bit deeper in how we can build your profile. Number two, finding the right people. I mentioned we can't be all things to all people. A targeted approach can really help. So I'll share a quick story. I was, several years ago, I was a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch. Anyone here at Merrill Lynch today? No, no one, okay. Great place. So I was living in Silicon Valley, and the team I was working with, we were focused on technology executives and technology founders and managing the financial affairs of those individuals. Living in Silicon Valley, there are a lot of those people. It's a big market. But unfortunately, it's also a very competitive market. There are thousands of advisors targeting those same people. And so when I was starting out, my colleagues were purchasing lead lists, normally for large technology companies, and calling employees there. I saw that the majority of people who were working at that time were failing. Within a year, they weren't hitting their revenue goals, and they had to leave the firm. And so our team took a different approach. We focused on companies that were private companies that we thought might IPO or be acquired in a couple of years. And once we'd identified those companies, we then focused on, okay, how do we get in front of those early employees and those executives? And LinkedIn became a very, very powerful tool to do that research, to identify those individuals. And because we were targeted in our approach, we were able to find those people who we could help, and we were able to build that relationship early. And for me, this enabled me to outperform 80% of my peers and exceed the revenue targets that I had by 50%. So much power in finding the right people. And the two tools that I used, I'll touch on right here. The first is advanced search. So if you log into LinkedIn, there's a search bar at the top. You can search by jobs, people, companies, a lot of different things. The advanced search feature allows you to take it a little bit further. You can search by title, you can search by company, you can even search by previous company, a school that they went to. Really, really powerful filters here. And if you upgrade to a premium account, there are even additional filters you can use that can be really effective. I don't work in sales at LinkedIn. I'm not trying to push a premium account on anybody, but I will touch on a little bit about the differences today, as well as or this morning, as well as in the afternoon session. The second tool is using the LinkedIn alumni tool. Has anyone used the LinkedIn alumni tool before? Just by way of hands, got a handful of people. I teach a lot on how to use LinkedIn. I found that the alumni tool is the most underused feature on LinkedIn. So with the alumni tool, how you find it, at the top, if you see My Network, and then if you hover over that and click on Find Alumni, it'll take you to this page. And there are a series of filters you can use. You can screen by geography, you can screen by major, you can screen by graduation date if you're trying to target people within a certain age range potentially. And this can be really, really effective. You can even change the university, okay? If you went to the University of Utah and you're ashamed of it, you can leverage the BYU network, okay? So once you do that, you filter those down, there'll be a list of people at the bottom. And you'll see whether you're connected to those people individually, whether you know them directly. Those are your first degree connections. And of course, you can reach out and connect with them. The second degree connections are individuals you have not met yet, but somebody in your network has. Okay, so you can see who you're connected through and ask those people for an introduction. Really, really powerful stuff here. So the third is engaging with insights. How do we engage with insights? A few stats here. You're 70% more likely to get an appointment or an unexpected sale if you were a member in LinkedIn groups. The second one, 87% of buyers said they would have a favorable impression of a salesperson who is introduced to them through someone in their network. This stat probably isn't that surprising. We all know that a referral or relationship is a great source of business. So LinkedIn groups. You can get on LinkedIn and join groups with like-minded people who are sharing content, who are having a discussion, and who are engaging with each other. Now, a lot of financial advisors generally want to connect with other financial advisors and join groups to get tips on how they can be a better financial advisor. While that can be effective, I would encourage you to think about your target market. Think about groups that you want to associate with, and maybe identify a couple of LinkedIn groups and make a commitment and make a goal to engage regularly with them. This isn't just, you know, splashing your business card or how you can contact them. This is sharing insights. This is looking at ways to help them. Another tool is through the LinkedIn publishing platform. So LinkedIn launched this publishing platform a couple years ago, and it was really only for influencers, for CEOs, thought leaders. It was limited to a small group of people. And this allows individuals to write long-form content, to essentially write a blog post and share your knowledge with your network. LinkedIn has since opened this up to everybody. Everybody now can get on LinkedIn and write long-form content here. When you publish this on LinkedIn, it shows up in your LinkedIn feed. It also triggers a notification for people in your network. And then there are LinkedIn editors looking for the best content, and they'll share that with various channels on LinkedIn. So the views can get really, really high. It's a great way. If you're maybe not interested in publishing, sharing content on LinkedIn can also be really effective. Sharing articles, sharing pictures, even just sharing a few sentences on what's going on. And the rule I like to think of is, does this add value to my network? Am I just trying to promote myself, or does this add value to the people that I am in my network? Number four, building relationships. This is a relationship business. Relationships matter. Being active on LinkedIn can be really, really helpful. I'll show these three examples up here. So job changes. In LinkedIn, you'll see people in your network who have changed jobs recently. This can be a very effective time to reach out to people, very productive time to reach out to people on LinkedIn and reconnect with them. Second is birthdays. You can see birthdays in LinkedIn, as well as work anniversaries, a great time to reestablish a relationship. I strongly encourage making a goal to share content on LinkedIn, to post content. If that's not something that you're interested in doing, just keeping an eye on people in your network, people who matter, and liking, commenting on that content, staying visible within your network. And finally, I said this a little bit, but I'll repeat it, adding value to your network. I do see some financial advisors, some salespeople, use LinkedIn as a tool just to like shove content down the throat of other people. I discourage that. I think it's much, much more powerful to think about people in your network and how you can really add value to them, what value you specifically bring to them. Also, personalizing the invitation. So on LinkedIn, when you connect with someone, I think the default message is, because you are a person I trust, I want to connect with you on LinkedIn. That may be a fine approach if it's somebody you know really, really well, if it's a friend you're just connecting with. But if it's anybody else, if it's somebody you may have met recently, if it's somebody you even haven't met before, personalize that invitation. Share how you met them. Share why you're reaching out to them. And maybe how you can assist. Always personalize the invitation. So these are the four elements of social selling here. We talked about establishing your professional brand. We talked about finding the right people, engaging with insights, and building relationships. And so these four essential elements I focus on because that is what rolls up into the LinkedIn Social Selling Index. And so LinkedIn has created a tool, a measurement, to find out how you are doing across those four elements. A scale of 0 to 100, 100 being absolutely amazing. You can get online right now in LinkedIn and see how you're doing across those four relationships, or four elements, seeing how you're establishing your brand, how you're engaging with the right people, engaging with insights, and building relationships. You can also see in the top right-hand corner how you compare to people in your industry. You can see how you compare to people in your network. And this is something that updates on a daily basis. So as you invest in your profile, as you invest in LinkedIn, you can see progress that is made. So going back to where we started, the stats that I shared at the beginning, there is a strong correlation between achieving your sales goals and advisors who have a high social selling index. Okay, these advisors are 45% more likely to receive 45% more sales opportunities, 51% more likely to hit their sales goals, and they will outsell 78% of their peers who don't use social media. So definitely, my recommendation is take the time to get to know LinkedIn. You probably are already on there. Get to know LinkedIn, invest in LinkedIn, and it can really, really pay dividends for your business. In terms of next steps, join my newsletter. If you want to, you can shoot me an email here. I write a career newsletter. Every month I share a LinkedIn article of how you can improve your profile, how you can write a LinkedIn article, how you can take advantage of the LinkedIn alumni tool. It's something that I offer free of charge. Just go ahead and shoot me an email with LinkedIn in the subject. I'll also throw in a how-to guide for social selling. That goes a little bit deeper into the conversation that was started here, and then access to previous materials that I've written on how to best leverage LinkedIn. If you'd like to hear a little bit more this afternoon, I'll be doing a focus session at 2:50 p.m., and that is in room 2260. So would love to see you then. And I'll finish with one quote here. And I remember this quote was from a professor that I had. And I remember walking into his office and wondering why he kept this pinned up in his office. And it says, "It is not the strongest or the most intelligent that survives. It is the one that is most adaptable to change." Now, the Grant Taggart Symposium has been around for 28 years. I would imagine your job has changed, for those who have been coming that long, over that period. With technology, technology is changing how financial advisors do business. And it seems to only quicken that change. And those who can adapt, those who can evolve with the times, are those who are going to be really, really effective in their careers. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope to see you this afternoon.